Bibles to that as well. We're continuing this morning in general along the same lines, and we have been, and we're going to keep looking at this great church in Antioch. It's a really special church, and then also at Barnabas the Encourager and Saul, who's going to become Paul. Saul, Jewish name, Paul, his Greek name, who is stepping into the calling of God and the gifting of God to be the one of the greatest evangelists and apostles the world has ever known. So we look at this today, and we're going to look at a theme in these chapters that you may not have noticed before, but it is something that will encourage us and spur us on in our Christian lives as well as we begin to look at it. So we'll see that this morning. But I want to start a little bit differently. So we're looking at this Antioch church. The first great church is the Church of Jerusalem, right? This is where the Holy Spirit is poured out. And it's a great move of God. And then the work of God, the Word of God, starts spreading, and as the Word of God spreads, the work of God is done. So it begins spreading here and there. There are believers in Judea, in the area where Jews are, and then at some point, because of persecution, so that should not surprise us, that though bad things at times come into our lives, and though we pass through hard things, everything is in God's hands, and He can bring good out of what the enemy has intended for evil, right? And that's how the Church of Antioch starts. Because of the persecution in Jerusalem, because Stephen is martyred, this great persecution starts up in Jerusalem. Believers are scattered, and they go as far as Antioch, and they tell people about Jesus, and then they start telling Greeks and non-Jews about Jesus, and that's where the next great move of God is, in Antioch, which, as we saw, was an extremely immoral city, a very educated, very cultured, quite rich, but very, very immoral because of the type of worship that was there, basically sex that was part of the worship. As it was also in Ephesus and some other places as well. Nevertheless, the people of God went there. The Word of God was spoken. The Holy Spirit blessed the Word of God. The work of God was done. And the next great church that your church center that is established is the church at Antioch. Later on, there will be the church at Ephesus and all these other churches as well. But Antioch's really a wonderful church for us to see, because we see how God brings people into the church, and then how He blesses His church and builds His church to make it rich. Here are these people that have become Christians. They've come from a very ungodly background. Many, if not most, of the people in Antioch who began to follow God had no background in following God. They didn't know about God. They didn't know about God's ways. They didn't know all of these things, but they really believed in God. They accepted Jesus as the only true way. So the Holy Spirit brought them into the church. And then let's begin this way. The church is gifted in Antioch. The church is growing. It is generous as well, because later they send offerings back to Jerusalem. And in this church, there are all these prophets and these teachers and these encouragers. Barnabas is in the church as well. Let's look at a few very quick, brief verses. This is not the main thing this morning, but I want you to see this, okay? This is from Romans 12. Those of you who have been part of the church a long time, or you have you know your Bibles well, there are three main chapters in the Bible that talk about the gifts of God that are in His people that are for the church, okay? Romans 12 is one of them. 1 Corinthians 12 is another one. And Ephesians 4 is the other one. Now, there's other places as well, and it's not limited, but these are the three chapters. Romans 12, 1 Corinthians, oh, you can tell I used to teach at university, right? Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. And I want us to look at this briefly because I want you to see how much God cares about His church and cares about His people as they become part of the church. You and I believe, we begin to follow God. God doesn't leave us on our own. He's given us His word, but we have not only His word, we have His work in the church, and He works in the church through people. That's how God works. And God is showing us, the church, as He did in Antioch, He's showing us His care for us and His love for us by putting His gifts, His character, His nature in us to go through us to help believers, to help our brothers and our sisters. That is how God works. Notice right here that nothing is said about a pastor. I'm your pastor. I'm your pastor teacher. We'll look at that in just a minute. Here we just see it's people. It's just people. And look at these things. I don't want to get into details. We'll do it another time. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. Your gift might be prophesying. You say, no, not prophesying. This prophesying usually means inspired teaching or inspired speaking. The Holy Spirit prompts you and you share it. How many of you, no joke, not from the pastor, but from somebody else in the church, you've been going through a tough time, you're facing something, and a Christian brother or a Christian sister at just the right time said something to you, right? And it lifted you, and you knew, oh, that was the Lord speaking to me, and it brought you help, and it brought you strength, and it brought you encouragement. That is, in part, prophesying, okay? And we've all experienced that, or we have done that, right? And so you and I need to be sensitive to the prompting of the Holy Spirit, but there will be some that are really more gifted in this area. We don't get the big head, and we don't get all proud, like, hoo-hoo, I prophesy, because you know what? It doesn't have much to do with us. It's God in us and then through us. And that keeps us from getting proud, right? Okay. It's a partnership with God. What are some of the other things? If it's serving, let them serve. I want you to see that Paul puts all these things together because some of you think, oh, well, I'm not very whatever. I just serve. May I tell you something? Every Sunday morning, up on the fourth floor, I can see the gift of serving in a group of people who are up there. They do it with love. They do it with a smile. They're cheerful as they do it. I get tired of doing it. I would. I'd get a little bit grumpy. Okay, come on, hurry. Clean up. Obviously, that is not my gift. But for some people, it is. And what I want you to see is this. God put that gift in those people to bless you because He loves you, right? Yeah, it gives a warm feeling and a family feeling, right? Because a lot of us don't have much family, if you will. So what else? If it's teaching, let them teach. So I already know that that's one of my gifts. That I know. But you know what? I know I'm not the only one. There are others who have teaching gifts as well. Those of you who are in Sunday school that are teaching the kids or the youth or for their teaching gifts. What else? Uh-oh, there we go. Verse 8. That's where we were with Barnabas. If it is encouraging, let them encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let them give generously. Leadership, govern diligently. If it's showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. I recognize in Lighthouse people with all of these different gifts. I do. I've seen it in operation. And we're glad that people do that, but what I want to remind you of is this. God puts these in people and makes people this way because he loves his church. He loves his church. And these things, these gifts, help us. They encourage us. They strengthen us. They give us what we need. So we see that. And that's what's happening in Antioch. Barnabas for sure is encouraging, right? Along with other things. And then remember, we went a little bit further and we said the church at Antioch was a really rich church in leadership and in gifts in the prophets. So there's a whole group of prophets and teachers together. We looked at this last week and the week before, these five who are prophesying and who are teaching. Prophet here, it might be saying something about the future, but most of the time in the Bible, it to be a prophet in the New Testament means inspired by the Holy Spirit words that come forth. The teachers has more to do with studying God's word, preparing, and then giving it. Again, this is so that God can build up his church because he loves his church, right? Now, look at Ephesians 4 really quickly. Remember what I told you? Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4. Okay, look at what it says in Ephesians 4. These are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Here's what we see again. People are not so great. People are not so great. Don't put people too high up on a pedestal. God is great. He gives the gifts to the church. And these are found in people. So apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastor-teacher. Pastor-teacher actually goes together, okay? So this is the background, but I don't want to stay there. Look at verse 12 real quickly. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church. So my responsibility is not as your pastor to do all the work of the church. My responsibility is to teach and to lead you as a pastor so that you grow up and you're doing the work that God calls us to do. That's a healthy church. If it's all on me and I'm doing most of it, that is incredibly unhealthy and unnatural. I have to do my part so that you can do your part, and God always does his part. Amen? Amen. Right? Okay. And God's purpose is to grow us up in him and to make us mature. And that's what we see. Right? So we see that in the church. Okay, let's move forward. I didn't want to stay there long. So, and then here we have in the church in Antioch, this man named Agabus. Now, he's a prophet and his gift is to talk about the future most of the time, right? Later on, he will, 10 or 15 years later, he's going to meet Paul again on the way to Jerusalem. And Agabus is going to prophesy to Paul, when you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound and you're going to be given over to the Gentiles, to the Romans. You're going to be. And so he's forth telling the future. So this is the first time Agabus and Saul meet, but they're going to meet again 10 or 15 years later. And Agabus is going to prophesy about Paul. So the believers respond to the message. We're going to send an offering. Okay, now we are getting into what we're going to look at this morning. So what happens? The church says, we send an offering. Who shall we send? We will send Barnabas and Saul. Here are two who are trusted. We see in Barnabas was an encourager, and he was really, really generous. We know that they are trustworthy to take the gifts that we are giving to the church. Think about this for just a minute. So a great famine is coming, and the church in Jerusalem and in Judea is going to be suffering if they are not already beginning to suffer. Can you imagine the encouragement that in that famine they receive help from brothers and sisters in a city far away, whom they have never met, who are of a different background culturally and ethnically, but who are moved by God to help. Can you imagine the encouragement of that? What a boost it would have been, not just to help their spirits, but to help them physically and literally. This is what happens as we encourage one another. This is what happens as we use the gifts that God has given us, right? Let me give you an example. So Friday, after Roy and Kay and the family, we all left the hospital. It was about 6 in the morning. I think it was right at 6 in the morning. Everybody went home. It had been 2 days without sleep in the hospital, in the ICU. And Friday around lunchtime, someone made an order from Food Panda for them and sent food for lunchtime. That's a blessing, right? It's a little bit like this. Okay, we don't have to worry about groceries. I don't have to worry about cooking. Food comes to the door. This is just an example. And this is what we see here. So Barnabas and Saul take it to the elders of the church in Jerusalem. And then we go to the end of the chapter. Here comes our theme this morning, right? So the title was Continue and Complete, right? Barnabas and Saul are sent with the offering to Jerusalem. Do they do it? They do it. When Barnabas and Saul had finished their mission, they returned from Jerusalem. I want you to see this morning what the Holy Spirit inspired in these few chapters about Barnabas and Saul being called to do something, doing it, and finishing it. And that's going to be a challenge and an encouragement for each one of us this morning. This first mission is not a huge mission, is it? It's not a big, great mission. I mean, hey, let me ask you, how many of you, there's a church in the Philippines and they really, really need help, and we have taken up an offering, and the offering is 100,000 pesos. That's quite a lot, right? Is that a lot? Yeah, that's a lot. Here's 100,000 pesos. Will pay for the airfare, would somebody take this money and go to the church and give it to them? How many of you would like to do that work or that mission? Yes or no? Yes. Thank you. Bunch of hypocrites. You're sitting there looking at me like, And Fanina said, yeah, I'd like to. There's nothing bad about that, right? There's nothing hard about that. It's great. It'll be such a blessing. People will be so relieved. So here's this first mission, but they do it, right? And they look at the word. Look at the word. When they had finished their mission, then they go back to Antioch. So they do what they're called to do. And it's not a big, huge thing. And it's not an extremely hard thing. Of course, travel was difficult at that time, but it's not extremely demanding. This is how God often works when he starts calling us to do things for him. Did you know that? He often starts a little bit small. Yeah? He doesn't take us and throw us in at the very deepest end. We start small, and then we learn. And so Barnabas and Saul do that. And then we see one other thing. They take John Mark with them. John Mark is either the cousin or the nephew of Barnabas. We don't know exactly. In one place it says cousin, but the word kind of means nephew as well in the Greek. So anyhow, a young relative of Barnabas. That's what we say. They take John Mark. Now, who wouldn't want to go with Barnabas and Saul? They're going back to Antioch. This is the happening church. This is the big church. God is moving. God is working. There are a whole bunch of gifted teachers and preachers in the church. People are hearing the message. They're becoming Christians. Who wouldn't want to go to Antioch? Everybody would want to go to Antioch. So they take John Mark with them. How long are they there? They're there maybe a year and a half, and then this is what happens next, okay? We're getting ready for the next mission, the next work. Let's see what happens next. You already know they're worshiping the Lord, fasting and praying. This is the whole church, not just the leaders. And then the Holy Spirit said, how did the Holy Spirit say? Be practical. Was there suddenly a voice that came out of the air in a deep voice that said, "Separate unto me, Barnabas and Saul." No. What happened? Come on. What happened? A prophet spoke, right? A prophet would have spoken. A prophet would have said, the Holy Spirit says, separate. Barnabas and Saul have a work that God wants them to do. So we're going to pray. We're going to lay hands on them. That's how it happened, right? So that's what happens. So it's not spooky. It's not spooky. It's not woo like that. That's how the Holy Spirit works. Now, what happens next? After they had fasted and prayed, wait, I thought they were already fasting and praying. Why do they fast and pray again? Are they doubting God? Are they second-guessing God? No. They're making sure for themselves, right? Because we hear God, and the Word of God comes through people, and we don't always get it right, yeah? Sometimes, Lord, is that you? Is that not you? And so they fast and pray to make sure it's the Lord. And then what do? They place their hands on them. Okay, we need a Phoebe. Come on up here, Phoebe. I know she's willing to do this. Phoebe has no idea what I'm going to do now. And she's a little bit nervous, but she's brave. I know she can do it. Just come on up here, Phoebe. Okay, here we go. You're scared, aren't you? Don't be scared. Okay. So the Holy Spirit speaks through people and gives direction, right? So who is part of this? The Holy Spirit. Who is the leader of this? Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church, but he's speaking through the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the head of the church. Pastor is not the head of the church. I should hear a big amen right now. I'm not offended by that. God's the head of this church. We are under his authority. We're under his leadership. We are under his discipline and his direction. Yeah? Okay. Holy Spirit speaks. They discern. This is the Holy Spirit. And they say, okay. Oh, I should bring two people. Jocelyn. Because we've got to have Barnabas and Saul, right? Here we go. I don't know which one is Barnabas and which one is Saul. I'm not sure which one is more encouraging. Anyhow, so here are Barnabas and Saul. So the Holy Spirit speaks and there's work to do. How does Holy Spirit work? He works through people. How is the work of God done? It's done through people. How do things happen? It happens through God's people. Brothers and sisters, this is how the work of God happens in his church. And if we are unwilling to do the work, we're not going to be part of what God is doing. And the work of God may not get done. There should be another big amen right now. So here are Barnabas and Saul. And they're part of it. So they've been called, but they're not going out on their own because they're part of God's family. So what does the church do next? The church fasts, prays, and lays hands on Barnabas and Saul. Why? Because Barnabas and Saul are not calling themselves. Barnabas and Saul are not going by themselves. Barnabas and Saul are not going in their own ability or in their own resources. Barnabas and Saul are part of the family of God, and the family of God is part of their work, which is God's work. And so the church in Antioch lays hands, prays. There's the partnership of Barnabas and Saul, the Holy Spirit who leads, and the church. That is the healthy pattern for the work of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. So lay hands, pray, send them out. Go. And out they go. Out they go. And so that's how it happens. Okay? So you've been waiting. John has been waiting for a map. I have a map this morning, okay? So where are they? So Jerusalem is way down here. The red arrow is where they start out. They're in Antioch. By the way, there's more than one Antioch. There's another, this is called Pisidian, and this is a different Antioch, but this is the church Antioch, okay? That. So they start out there, and they start off on their journey, and in this triple partnership, okay? In this triple partnership, off they go. Okay, I have no idea where I am in my notes. Hang on. Okay, so they go off, and they begin sailing, all of these things. Everybody has had to be part of it, and off they go. Now, what happens next? So they're going to go here. Why did they go to Cyprus first? Have you ever thought about that? Barnabas was from Cyprus. It makes sense, right? Barnabas was from Cyprus. So they start there, and then they travel across the island. Aha! Now, look, verse 5. They went to the Jewish synagogues, preached the word of God. Who is with them? Now we find something else. Who is going with them? Young John Mark. Okay? So they have brought him along. Is John Mark the main preacher? Is John Mark the big evangelist? John Mark is the helper. The Greek word for helper here, how many of you have seen those movies like Ben-Hur? How many of you have seen the old movie Ben-Hur, right? Remember at some point near the beginning when Ben-Hur is a slave on the ship, right? What's he doing? He's not doing the Norwegian row, okay? Poor Norway, they're not going to be doing that anymore, are they? He is an enslaved rower on that ship, right? That's what this word means. It's really basic. It's really basic. But it's necessary. It's necessary, okay? And so he's like that. So John Mark goes as their helper, and that makes sense. He may be in his late teens or early 20s. He doesn't have the work of evangelizing or preaching or teaching. He's going to help them. What kind of help would he give them? Maybe. Think about it. Carrying their bags. What else? I'm hungry. Let me go get food. Okay. Let me find us a place to stay for the night. Let me arrange our passage from this city. We need to get on this ship. We need to get on a ship to go here. John Mark does that. So it's really practical. It's a helper. So John Mark is with them. Is that something that he can do? Yes, he can. He can do. So they start on the trip, and as they go, they get to Cyprus. There's opposition. There's a false prophet who's operating in the power of the devil, and they oppose them. But Saul, suddenly his name changes from Saul to Paul right here, okay? He's no longer called by his Jewish name. He's called by his Greek name because they're now going into ministry with Greeks and Romans. And Paul opposes him and says, you're a son of the devil. You will be blind. And that's exactly what happens. And the people believe. And so God begins to move and God begins to work. So they go here and then they get here. Okay? They get here and look at what happens next. Back to verse 13. Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to Perga in Pamphylia. John, however, left them and went back to Jerusalem. Now we're talking about continuing and completing. They're setting out. God has called them to do this. And John Mark gets part way. Has there been much opposition yet? Not really. But John gets that far and he goes back. Why does he go back? It's a little bit strong. Why does he leave them? We do not know. Maybe he got word from Jerusalem that his mother was sick. Maybe. Maybe something else happened. Maybe he got sick and he wasn't able to continue. We don't know. All we know is John Mark left them. But please read the Bible carefully. Where does John return? Does he go back to Antioch where he was, or does he go somewhere else? He doesn't go back to Antioch. He goes to Jerusalem, his home, his mother's home, where he was before. So you should start thinking, why did he go to Jerusalem? Why didn't he go back to Antioch? He was staying in Antioch. Well, we don't know, okay? So we hold that. But since we're looking at the Word of God, let's keep on following. So John Mark leaves them here. He left them, it says, and he goes back down to Jerusalem. Now, let's jump forward. We don't hear about John Mark. Barnabas and Saul they complete their first journey. We'll come back to that in just a minute, but let's follow John Mark. Okay, Look with me. Acts 15. Okay? This is part of the story of John Mark. Now, there's more to the story of John Mark than this, but I want us to see this morning because this talks about completing the work that God has called us to do, fulfilling the responsibilities that have been given to us in every area of our lives. Not just the work of God in the church, but if you are a child of God, everything, all of your responsibilities in your life are God-ordained, they're God-given, they're God-planned. They come from God because you're God's child. What are you doing with those? Are you continuing and are you completing what God has spoken to you to do? You know what that means? If you're a parent, listen up. Seriously, if you are a parent, you have a responsibility for your child, whatever age, to continue. You say, but they're adults. Yes, they are. But if they're not walking with the Lord, it is your work. It is your responsibility that you keep praying for them that they might walk with God. That's part of the work of being a parent and others as well, friendships and other things like that. So look at what happens. Paul says to Barnabas, this is sometime later, let's go back and visit the cities where we were, because there were a lot of baby Christians, right? You can't leave baby Christians on their own. They need encouragement. They need strengthening. Are you doing okay? Let us teach you some more. So let's go back. Let's see how they're doing. Barnabas says, yes, let's go. And Barnabas, the great encourager, always encouraging, always full of grace and always full of mercy, says, let's take John Mark. Now, he left on the first trip, but let's take him again. Let me give you my translation. Let's give him another chance, okay? How many of you would like that? You've blown it before, and you'd like another chance, yeah? All of us would. Okay, look at what, so Barnabas says, let's take him along again. What does Paul say? But Paul disagreed strongly. It must have been it became a deep, strong argument, a big, strong disagreement that really seemed to kind of break things between them. Now, here we find more. Paul disagreed strongly since John Mark had, what's the word? Now we find out more. What's the word? Deserted. Deserted them. And now we know it wasn't something light. It wasn't something simple. It wasn't something easily understood or explained. He had deserted. They had counted on him. He was part of the work, and he deserted them. And, okay, look at the last part, had not continued with them in the work. This is part of our theme for us this morning. And I want to challenge us this morning, and I want to encourage us as well, because here we have this picture of John Mark, who is part of what God is calling them to do, but he stops. We don't know exactly why he stopped. We really don't. The Bible doesn't tell us. It may have gotten hard in that area. Historians say that that area where he deserted, it was low-lying and it was swampy, and there was a lot of malaria. It was well known. It was recorded. There was malaria in that area. Maybe it was sickness or something like that. Or it may have been at that point, if you read your Bibles, you will see instead of Barnabas and Saul, guess what happens? From then on, it is Paul and Barnabas. His name goes Paul and Barnabas. And Barnabas takes the second place. Paul takes the first place. Maybe John Mark didn't like that because he thought Barnabas should have really been the leader. He should have been at the front. But anyhow, that's what happens. So I want us to see what happens here. Paul says, no, he deserted while we were in the work. He did not continue the work. And this is a warning for us. Not all encouragements are, yay, let's go. Encouragements sometimes are strong words as well. John Mark did not continue. Now, let me go ahead and say this right now. This is not the end of John Mark. Aren't you glad? Because Paul says, nope, he's not going with us. I understand Paul. Why? We can't depend on him. What if he turns back again? We've got to have somebody to help us. Nope, he cannot go. Can you understand that? Yes. Can you understand Barnabas? He was young. He's still learning. Let's give him a chance. He can do again. How many of you understand that? Yes? Yes. I think it takes both. I think it takes both. And God's the one that works that out. And later on, John Mark is restored to ministry. And later on, Paul says, Mark, who is working with me? John Mark, who is working with me? And right near the end of his life, Paul says, tell John Mark, while he's in prison, tell John Mark, bring John Mark to me. He's helpful to me. He's helpful to me. And that's so encouraging because John Mark is restored, and he's restored with Paul as well. But that's some point later, okay? At some point later. So in the time that we have left, let's go back to Barnabas and Saul, who are on the way in this mission, and let's be encouraged. So they start going. John Mark leaves them there. They travel up to Antioch, a Pisidian Antioch. Do you know what happens there? The crowd turns against them. They make plans to get them, and then they expel them from the city. They go to Iconium. What happens in Iconium? Persecution comes up again, and they make plans to, we're going to kill Barnabas and Paul. And so Barnabas and Paul leave there as well. They get as far as Lystra. What happens in Lystra? In Lystra, there's the man who is lame. Paul looks at him, commands him, sees that he has faith. He commands him, and he immediately stands up. It's a miracle, and he begins walking. And the whole city, oh, they're gods, they're gods, they're gods, and they begin to worship them. And then jealous Jews come and say, no, they're not gods. They're false, they're this and that. The whole city turns against them. What happens to Paul? He is stoned. They drag him out of the city, believing he is dead. The Bible language is not clear. Paul may be dead. We don't really know. The Bible says that all the believers gathered around him. What do you think they were doing as they gathered around him? What do you think? Of course, they were praying, right? They weren't just looking at him. They weren't just saying, is he breathing? Of course not. They gathered around him. Sure, they laid hands on him, and they're praying. And what happens? God raised him up. Okay, are you with me still? Yeah? Okay. So they leave Lystra and they go to Derbe. What happens in Derbe? Evangelizing in Derbe and making many disciples. That's what happens in Derbe. But they've had trouble all along the way as they have continued what God has called them to do. In the things that God gives you to do, in the responsibilities that God puts into your hand, in your work and in your relationships, it may be difficult at times. But when you know that God has brought you to this, then you know that God will bring you through this. Through this. And so you stay with God. You stick with God. You continue with God. He will get you through. He will. He will. Because he's called you to do it. He's called you to do it. So they get all the way through. And here's this wonderful encouragement this morning. This wonderful encouragement. They've gone all the way. And then look at verse 21. Paul and Barnabas returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch of Pisidia. What? They return to the very cities where they have been persecuted. They return to the very cities where he was stoned and left for dead, where they planned to kill them, where they were driven out of the city. They go back to the very cities where they have encountered persecution. Why? Because there are believers in those places. The work of God may be in hard places. The responsibilities that God gives us may be in places that maybe we don't really want to go because it's easier in other areas. Stay with God. Stick with God. Continue in the work. Don't be a John Mark. Don't be a John Mark, because in this part, we don't hear anything more about him till much later, and it's not really very good. Imagine with me the encouragement that these young Christians get when they see coming back again. Here are Barnabas and Paul. They almost killed him in this city. And here come Barnabas and Paul. We're back. Can you imagine how that strengthens young believers who are going to face hard times as well? Your steadfastness, your continuing in what God has given you to do, your staying where God has put you, will speak to the people around you of God's strength and faithfulness and goodness in you and through you, and that if He is able to keep you in the hardest of times, in the hardest of things, if He can keep you, He can keep them. He can keep them. Paul is so clear. He said, we went through this. We went through these things. Later on, he talks about it. And we thought we're going to die. Paul says that. He really does. He said, in fact, we just thought we are going to die. Not just spiritually, physically. We're going to die. We're not going to make it. He said, but we did make it. And we made it so that we might encourage others with what God has encouraged us. God takes your hard things. God takes your difficulties. And they are gold. They are gold. They are precious. They are treasures that will be seen and used in other people's lives. So don't give up along the way. Keep on going. Keep on going. Okay? I'm going to skip all the verses, and we're going to end with this one. We end with this. This is the end of their missionary journey, and we're going to end here. Ready? Here's the end. They passed through Pisidia, Pamphylia. They spoke the message in Perga. Look at that. They didn't speak the message in Perga on the way out, because that's where John Mark deserted them. It must have been so discouraging for Paul and Barnabas, right? That this young one that they brought along had just said, I'm going. Because we make our own choices. But you know what? We're not independent. And our choices affect others for better or for worse. That's just the way it is. That's the way it is. From there, they sailed back. Here we go. It's verse 26. This is our closing. This is the conclusion. From there, they sailed back to Antioch, where they had been entrusted to the grace of God for, ready? For what? For the work they had completed. That's why I love that verse from Amazing Grace. We sang it around the bed with Stephen. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. They had been entrusted to the grace of God. My dear brothers and sisters, you and your life, you are entrusted to the grace of God. You're not on your own. You're entrusted to the grace of God. And the grace of God will keep you. He'll keep you. Please don't give up. Please don't turn back. Please don't desert the work or the people that God has given you. Stay in the grace of God, in the hands of God, and complete the work that God had given them. Amen? That's it. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for calling us. Thank you for equipping us. Thank you for giving us your grace. Thank you for putting people around us with all of these gifts that help us and bless us and strengthen us and give us courage. Lord, help us to receive these things from you, because they come from you. And Lord, help us not be slow to use the gift and the gifts that you give us as well to help and bless others. And most of all, Lord, I pray that you would help each one of us to continue in the work and to complete the work and the works and the responsibilities that you give us to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Say hi to everyone. Summer Fun Days, people. We'll see you at 2 o'clock.